Thank you very much. We've got the graveyard service. I don't know what it means that Richard gets to sit down and talk and I stand up and talk. At least I can say, well, don't worry, this preacher is short. But he does get a bit long-winded. Now, Simon says, put your hands in the air. Simon says, shake them around. Simon says, pat your head. Simon says, pat your tummy if you can find it. Simon says, pat your shoulders. Simon says, put your hands in the air. Put them down. You've got to concentrate. All right? Some important things this afternoon here. Okay. Simon says, put one hand in the air. Simon says, put the other hand in the air. Simon says, shake your hands. Put your hands down. You're still not concentrating. Okay. All right. Simon says, put your hands down. Simon says, stand up. Simon says, sit down. Simon says, stand up. Spiritual exercises. You'll be Anglican soon. Simon says, sit down. Simon says, put one hand there. Simon says, put the other hand there. Simon says, close your mouth. Now I've got a captive audience. Thank you. Right. Sorry to treat you like teenagers, but I know you've been sitting for a while. we've got it. All right, so we're... Is it not working again? Try it. There we go. All right. Sowing the seeds of hope. That's our subject for the weekend. And we're going to be sowing and the societies that we live in. And we need to see what their response will be. So let's take our Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And just while you're doing that, I showed you how to make a cross today. If you want to know how to do it, I've got some bits of paper that'll explain how to do it. Won't take you long to learn, very quick. If you still get a bit of a hiccup, come and see me, and I'll go through it. There's about three different versions up the back there, because you can actually go on and make the word hell and make the word a cross and all sorts of things if you want to get real in depth. Another thing is, you know, the cross is important. Now, here's a little one that you can use for a craft or something, or if you like working out back in your man's cave, make up some little puzzles. Here's a couple of crosses. You just cut them out in that shape, cut them like that, and you've got a puzzle. Put it on your coffee table in the lounge. Someone turns up, and they start playing with it. You know, and then you can come in. I've got other sheets up the back that'll give you conversational starters on that, you know. So you've got to have the right pieces in the right place. The Lord Jesus was in the right place for me to put the pieces of my life back together again. So there's those things up there. You can take them. Only one at a time. There's not many of them, but if you're interested, please do that. The little booklets cost $1.25, but you can take one for nothing if you read it, and then give it to someone who's not a Christian. All right, that's the contract. All right. Now we're into Romans chapter 10, starting at verse 9. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by confessing with your mouth that you are saved. As the scriptures tell us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scripture says, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring good news. But not everyone welcomes the good news. For Isaiah the prophet said, Lord, who has believed our message? So, faith comes from hearing, that is, hearing the good news about Christ. Faith comes by hearing. Folks, evangelism has to be verbalized. We've got to get our tongues into action. That's not just on the day of Pentecost. You've got to get your tongue wagging. As I said this morning, you can't just try to live a good life. Okay? We need to verbalize. And that's what it's saying here. How can they believe if they do not? How do you hear? If someone talks. And with all the clamor of voices today, sometimes we got to talk a little louder. That's why there's all kinds of characters involved in evangelism. But it's okay. Just be a witness and tell someone what the Lord has done for you. You need to verbalize it. Now the most, the thing that is good or gets you into a conversation somewhere along the line somehow is when you're talking to someone and they just start to share a little problem. Never miss the opportunity of going over and say, oh, do you mind if I pray for you? 99.9% of the time they'll say yes. Because everybody has some kind of mystical feeling about prayer. And if you will pray for them genuinely, they will never forget you. I've sat with a multimillionaire. Now that scares you, doesn't it? I mean, he used to own KFC Hungry Jack's, and I don't know, he owned a heap of things. Sat down with him because his father had just died. Went through all the things you have to do for the funeral. And I said, do you mind if I read some scripture and pray with you? Doesn't matter how rich and how big and all that. He came back and said, I just really appreciate that. Starts to open the door. Prayer is great. You don't have to talk very long. Just a wee prayer. If you're a Kiwi. It's just a small prayer if you're an Aussie. So verbalize it. As we read in Isaiah. Be a witness. Tell your story. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God. Just spit it out and God will use it. It's not you that's got to use it. It's the Holy Spirit that does it. He just wants you to boom, get it out there. So tell your story. Tell your story. And folks, it is faith in Christ alone. It is faith in Christ alone. See, this is what it is. All right, the plan. This is God's plan. We've just read it here. You see, God sends his servant. That's you Whitbyites. He sends you. Come on. What's going on here? There we go. He sends you to preach or to witness, you know, to tell your story. Poor people hear. Now they're all poor because they're not saved. It's only the Christians that are rich, folks, because we inherit heaven. You see, so the poor people hear and they become believers. You see, the hearers become believers. And the believers call on the Lord. And the promise is all who call on the Lord will be. And everyone who calls is saved. Folks, that's the plan. That's the plan. And there is no plan B. We got no option. We have to verbalize our faith. We have to tell it out so the hearer can hear and call on the Lord and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, no plan B. Maybe that shakes us a bit. No plan B. Well, I better not get up the stage, otherwise I'll be upstaging Richard. I'll just try and stand down here. And the people at the back should be able to see because they've got long sight. That's why they were down there. Now, I've got a little rope here. Okay? And I got two beads. Blue one, that's royal. That's God, King of Kings. And I've got a green and yellow one. That's for the Aussies. Now actually, it was for the South Africans and I haven't put the black one on there for the Kiwis yet. We were in South Africa before. But you know, this is the story of the gospel. You see, because in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. And he put Adam and Eve on the earth. And you know, the Bible tells us that in the beginning, Adam and Eve lived in the garden, and at the cool of the evening, they would walk and talk with God. Can you imagine? That must have been fantastic. Every night, going for a walk with God in the garden. Would you like to do that? Well, you can. You can do it every day. You don't have to wait till night time. Gotcha. Yeah, but the problem was that God has given us a free will because he wants us to love him freely. So we have the choice, am I going to love him or am I going to go and do my thing? And you see, and what happens is Adam and Eve went and did their thing. Someone's getting a message from heaven. And the problem is that they disobeyed God. And when we disobey God, sin comes between us and God. Now they can't walk and talk with God because sin's come in the way. It's ruined the communication and they're put out of the garden. Now the rest of the Bible is God's story about how he's trying to get our attention. Saying, I love you. I want a relationship with you. I want to be your friend. Did you know that? God wants to be your friend. See, that's why I made you. To be my friend, so we can walk and talk together. But oh, sin has come in the way. And we've allowed that sin. And so God, he started his own nation, Israel. He sent prophets along. He sent all sorts of things, even a whale along. I mean, he did all sorts of things to get people's attention to say, listen, I want a relationship with you. I want a relationship with you. And finally, he sent his own son, the Lord Jesus. He sent the Lord Jesus down here. And the Lord Jesus came and he died on the cross for you. He came and paid the penalty for your sin so you don't have to be judged for your sin anymore. Isn't that great? That's why the Bible says there is now no judgment to those who are in Christ Jesus. Can you just lay that over the top there like that? So it won't come off. Is that all right? Now, you just passed 101 in being a magician's assistant. See, the Lord Jesus came and willingly allowed his created beings to crucify him, to take away our sin in Christ alone. Beautiful song, isn't it? So that if I will come to the Lord Jesus and say to the Lord Jesus by faith, I'm sorry for my sin, please forgive me. Please come into my heart. See, that's the act of faith. I can't do it. Only Christ can do it. So if I will come and ask the Lord Jesus to forgive me because of his death on the cross, it tells us in Romans 5, because of his death on the cross, he has made me to be a friend of God. And so now the wall of has been broken. Now I can walk and talk with God. Because now, because of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, I am a friend of God. My friends, that's the gospel. Isn't that exciting? Man, I just get all shivery when I do this trick every time, because man, that's it. That's amazing. It's amazing what God has done. No wonder it's good news, huh? Good news. Don't use that as a hanky, will you? I need it later on. Too late? Folks, what I want to do is just go into some practical stuff, because it is the graveyard shift, all right? So please don't go to sleep. Keep your eyes open, because now, this is for Daryl. Just so he feels at home, I brought a boomerang along. It won't kill a kangaroo, I didn't tell you. It's only foam. Now, have a look at that. Lucky you, you've got two eyes. I bought two coup boomerangs. Huh? All right, now, first of all, what I want you to do is tell me, which is the biggest boomerang? Which is the biggest boomerang? Huh? Who says the red one? Okay, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Who says the yellow one? And a whole lot aren't going to commit themselves, eh? You chickens. All right, so someone said the yellow one. Is the yellow one the biggest? No. No, the yellow one's the smallest. Right? You see? You don't. What you've got to be careful of is what happens in life. We only believe what we see. But it tells us in Romans, it's by faith. So don't go by sight, go by faith. All right? You see, and some of you, well, got it right. It was the yellow one, right? Okay, let's try that again. Which is the biggest one? Yeah, you got it right now. You're believing your eyes, eh? No, but it's just in the way that you look at it. That's why we have to keep telling the story, keep telling the story, so people get to look at the gospel from different points of view. You see, life is an illusion. And too many people are trapped by the illusion. See, these boomerangs are exactly the same size. It's just how you look at it. Huh? And life's like that. Life is an illusion, and the trouble is too many people are looking at it from the wrong perspective. We need to keep telling the story and the message. Now, if you guys want to, you can take one of these later on and try it on your folks when you get home, but always charge a buck because you make some money. You see, use whatever you can. You don't have to be a little bit like me, crazy and a magician. You just keep things in your hip pocket. You got a bit of newspaper in your pocket so you can make a cross. Look, here's one I got. This is the wordless book. You start with the yellow page and you just go like that. Oops, upside down heart. Well, they are upside down till they get the right way up. You see? And a black heart. And then you go to the cross because the black heart needs cleansing. And then you go to the white heart. because that's what the blood of the Lord Jesus does, washes us white as snow. And then you know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. Doesn't take much to just stick that in your pocket, and pull it out on them. We often get people to make the wordless book in beads and put it on their thing. I was in a church in South Africa, Carolina. And we had lots of little kids turn up at the meeting. So we did something practical, you know, got them to make beads and got the adults to make the beads too. And this lady went home with her beads, her wordless book beads, you know. Her husband's a drunkard. He says, "What do you got there?" "Oh, I got that at church tonight." "What for?" So she shares the gospel with him. You know, the next night, he's in church. And my driver, I asked to give a testimony, unbeknown, and he was a drunkard and got saved. See how God works? Just with a couple of little beads. Folks, you can have it on your arm, you can have it in your pocket, have it in your hip pocket. Huh? You ever seen one of these? You seen these? Who's seen these? These are great, man. We've got one that's a big one. We use it in big meetings once you get to like that. This is too big for this. Yeah. But these are good. You know how to do this? Oh, man, this is simple. Put it in your own little patter. You see, here's man. He's in darkness. Here's God. He's light, right? The problem is that there is a gap between us because men love darkness rather than light. That's why we go away from God. And that's the big gap there. And that sin separates us from a holy God so that we can't come to know God. But God knows that and he wants to know us and he wants to make sure we know it. So you know what he did? He sent the Lord Jesus down to earth. And the Lord Jesus came for one purpose, to give his life, a ransom for you and for me. So if he paid the price. If I will come and put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, he will forgive me. You see, they took Jesus down from the cross and they thought they could kill him and they put him in a tomb. But the silly fellas forgot something. You can't kill God. You know, you just got to use your head sometimes, don't you? But they thought they were going to kill God. They put him in a tomb. And what happened? 3 days later. Wow, he rose again. You see? He's not here. He's not here. He's alive. Why? Because Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." And the only way is through the cross, through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I need to come to the Lord Jesus and put my hand in his hand. You see, folks, there is a hell to shun and there is a heaven to gain. And it's only through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You notice something? Here, I'll ask this guy. He's going to sleep. You notice something about the hand? What do you know about the hand?
It's got the...
Yeah, got the nail. But, you know, because the Bible says we will all look upon the nail-pierced hand of Jesus. He's still got that. And I need to put my hand in the hand of the Master by faith. Trust in him. Now you can get those. We've sold or given away hundreds of them, but lots of them. They're there. There's another version of it here. We won't go through that. Let me just quickly show you the good person test. This is what we do a lot, and it helps you to talk to half a dozen people or just to one-on-one, you know. So you ask them, is there any good people here? And, yes, he's a good person, right? Well, you get them talking. And then they'll say, "Oh, so-and-so, no, they're not very good." "Oh, why aren't they very good?" "Oh, so you have standards. Which you judge people?" Ooh, "No, I don't judge people." No, you have standards. You know, you put people in a little, yeah. And you know what? God has a standard. And he's written it down in the Bible. Yeah. Now, what I'd like to do is go through that standard with you to see where you stand with God. All right, what do you got here? Can you see that? Come on, face up to it. Ah, we got some smarties here, haven't we? Yeah, that's a face, but if you look a little bit crooked, like a lot of faces are crooked, you'll find that it's a liar. How it's interesting when you get one-on-one with people, you know, you become like the priest. You say, have you ever told a lie? Yep. And sometimes you've got to have a lot of time because now they start confessing to you all their lies. So what do you call someone who tells lies? A liar. Oh, okay. Yeah. Don't kind of confess too much. Now, what's happening here? A robber. And what do you call a robber? A thief. See? Now that's again breaking one of God's standards. Have you ever borrowed something and never paid it back? Have you ever taken, you know, a little chocolate bar? Sure. I know you're all sitting there making, no, me. But we all have. We all have. You've all stolen something. And so the people will say, yeah, I've stolen something. Oh, so now you're telling me that you're a lying thief. You're not doing too good. We're only up to number two. What about number three? Anger. You're an angry, lying thief, huh? And you can say that and they'll laugh with you. Now I'll go through it real quick. The next one is lusting. You like that? You'll get it. Keep looking. We'll keep going. Poor old Mr. Obama. Coveting. So you go through and talk. And it just depends. We make up different ones of these and have different pictures. So it's going through the Ten Commandments. Folks, people have to have a conviction that they're sinners. A lot of our evangelism today is we never talk about sin, so there's nothing to get saved from. So they never get saved. They just become a little goody-goody two-shoes, but they're still going to hell. You see? You've got to get people into conviction, and the Ten Commandments are the conviction. Now, once you've got them into conviction, they're saying, oh yeah, man, I see it now. I've really fallen short. I'm not going to make it. Well, now, that's good. That's good. Now you can go on. Like I said this morning, there was a lady at the railway station. I couldn't go any further past here because, no, she's still good. She's still good. Now we talk about the courtroom. Because you've broken some of these laws, what happens? You're going to be judged. You do something wrong, you'll be judged. Yeah. But the beauty is, my friends, is that when we come into God's judgment, there's someone who stands in our place. And Jesus comes in front and he says to the judge, it's okay. I've paid the price. I've set them free. They're not guilty. Isn't that wonderful? That's why it doesn't matter about dying. Because when you get up there, the judgment seat is not a scary thing. Because Jesus is there with you. And he says, that's okay. They're my friend. They've trusted me. I paid for their sin. I've set them free. Wow. So that's the judge. And you can go on. You put it in your own words and away go. And that's because Jesus died on the cross. And, you know, there's all sorts of ways you go there now. But, oh, it's great just to see people all of a sudden light up. Oh, now I understand. You see? It's not a catechism. It's not a dead, boring sermon. It's I'm under condemnation because of my sin unless I come to the Lord Jesus. Well, folks, there's a lot of things that we can do. We must go. Oh, who messed all that up? All right, what about other religions? Now, it's great to have Richard with us, but you don't have to go overseas on a boat now. Because a whole lot of people have come from overseas on a boat to us. We now live in a multicultural society, regardless of what you think about it. But it's great for Christians. Because now we've got a whole lot of other people. We don't have to learn a language, they've got to learn our language, and we can tell them the gospel. And if we can get enough of them saved, send them back to their country so they can tell their friends. This is wide open mission field, folks. And all around you, you've got that. So the other religions, don't be scared of them. We have a mission field on our doorstep as our neighbors and so forth. Now, don't get upset with the Muslims. We all want to hate the Muslims, don't we? Because they're the baddies. But I want to tell you, God's doing a work amongst the Muslims. Don't be scared of them. They're not going to kill you yet. That's a bit later on in the history. But right now, they're open. And you know, the beauty is that they have been misplaced from their homeland. Now they're wide open. Back in their homeland, they wouldn't listen to you, or you couldn't talk to them because there's too many other Muslims around checking on them. But here, and God is at work, folks. God is at work. Pray for the Muslims. And you will be surprised how God is seeking them out. And right now, don't want to upset your brethren background, but right now, God, the Lord Jesus, is appearing to Muslims. He's appearing to Muslims because they're seeking him. And what does he say? If you seek me, I will find you. You don't find him. God finds you. And so that's what I'll just give you a quick story because I'm not getting cut yet. A quick story. My friend Dave, who's just been here this last weekend, he was in Vienna doing open air work. He has a sketchboard and he gets up there and does sketchboard talks. He has 100 to 150 people come up at a lunchtime and listen, you see. So he's doing his sketchboard talk, and as he finishes, a lady comes in, says, "I want to talk to you. Last night, I had a dream. And in my dream, in the square here, there was a man with a sketchboard that was telling me about the Lord Jesus Christ. And at lunchtime, I'm walking through the square and I look up all these people and there you are, exactly as it was in the dream. Please tell me how to come to God." So he shares the gospel. She gets saved. She's in church on Sunday. Goes on for the Lord. She's a Muslim in Vienna. You see, God seeks people out. Don't put the limitations on. You just give it out. To me, the scariest part is that I might be in one of God's visions and dreams. That's I don't know how my mate handles that, you know. But you see, God is interested. You've got Hindus, you've got Sikhs, or Sheikhs, that should be seeking. But at any rate, that's the English language, isn't it? See, we got to get there and get the message to them. They're all needy people. Sow the seed, sow the seed, sow the seed. Tell your story. And so we have great opportunities. Folks, even out of your church, you need to start teaching English. Don't go, "Oh, these are foreigners, they don't know English." No, they probably don't know English and they don't know Kiwi eyes either. And we don't want them to learn English, otherwise they'll be talking like the Poms, won't they? The English, I mean, there's a couple of English men here, so. A cup of tea and a bottle of bun, no? Yeah. So, teach English. That is a great, now, you don't have to be all fancy when you teach English. Because the best English to teach is the Bible. Create interest. And some churches have built their church on just teaching English. You can teach English. You can develop a drop-in center. A lot of these people are lonely. They don't have regular jobs and things like that. They don't have friends. They're trying to learn English. They're trying to learn the customs. A drop-in center. Get a drop-in center going. Shirley's home church in Melbourne, they have a meal program. And on Thursdays, you go there to the church and there's a free meal at 5:30. And you've got Afghanis, you've got Chadians, you've got all kinds of black, coloured, brindle, whatever. I mean, the tall ones, the scary ones, the little ones. I mean, they're all there. It's a very ethnic area where Shirley's home church is, Dandenong. Yeah, but you've got them all. But they turn up there. Before they get to eat, they get the real food. Huh? It's good. Just got to do things. Down our way, there's a group that does social outings. They get a lot of the Asians and that are going to the Polytech and stuff. And he'll take them out for an outing. So about every 2 months, they go to a farm to see sheep sheared. They go to somewhere else, you know. Just take them out to show them Kiwi stuff. Of course, they flock along. You make sure that half the crowd is Christian so that there's people telling the story. Now, you need patience. Oh, let me give you a couple more I didn't write up there. What can you do as a church? Grace Church in Richmond, ex-brethren, trying to become brethren again. They put up every Easter a cross on the hill for a couple of weeks. And it lights up at night. Got a lot of good feedback from that. At Christmas time, it turns into a star up on the hill for about 3 weeks. A lot of good feedback on that. Just simple. They put a float in the parade, the Santa parade. I think they've won it 4 out of 6 years now. They've won the best float. You know, us Christians can do a lot of good things, you know, get into the Santa parade. Now, hardly anyone goes to church that morning because they're all involved in the Santa parade, but that's okay. That's church, folks. That is church. Getting out into the marketplace and sharing the gospel. Another thing that Grace Church did was, well, they still do, I think. They get together, the ladies get together and make some muffins and morning tea, whatever you do for morning tea. You know, make up all these little fancy things. And then they go along to a community group at morning tea time. Say, we just want to bless you and say thank you. We appreciate what you're doing in our community. They took a whole big morning tea along to Waimea College, the local high school, and gave it to all the teachers at morning tea time. Yeah, we got a good relationship with the college. You know, just to say thank you. Because nobody takes people, they just take them for granted. You know? They took a lot along to the police. Now, our youth pastor is the chaplain of the police in Nelson, Richmond. Good relationship with them, you see. We've got to start building these relationships. And nothing like saying, thank you, we appreciate it. See? So looking for things to do. We've done 2 or 3 letterbox drops with our How to Get to Heaven. The last one we did was this one as well. Letterbox drop the whole town of Richmond, about 5 or 6,000. You can do all sorts of things. Go to the markets. Go to the AMP shows. Children's Day. Have you ever thought of having a Children's Day? Yeah, you don't have church as church because now it's for the children. And you put on the bouncy castle and the all the crazy things where someone can throw a ball at a thing and dunk a guy, you know, the dunk. Have all those sorts of things going. Plus you have a couple of set. Baptize him again. That's just getting kids. Now it might not sound like evangelism. But Shirley's been able to get a friend of hers along a couple of times. She's broken the ice. She's actually been to church now. Well, out in the playground. But you've got to do that. You see? And then another one they do is a big day out. And that's for special needs. And so they have this big day out for special needs. Hold on. So the special needs kids from Waimea College, from Waimea Intermediate, from different places all around, they all come to the church grounds and have a big day out with all kinds of little activities that are suitable for special needs. Then someone shares the gospel with them. And so you've got all the teachers and things like that, you know, all these guys. It's great. good opportunity. Folks, we just got to start to think and be creative. So have patience. You know, it's like mainland cheese. Good things take time, right? That was a bit cheesy, sorry. But anyway, that's the way it is. Be patient. It takes time. You have to sow, you have to water, you have to pray, and then you get the harvest. You need to also create curiosity. Because curiosity kills the cat and a whole lot of other things. So be creative in what you can do to get that curiosity factor. People are scared of your church. Because funny things happen there, those funny people go there. Yeah, you know, they're oddbods, they call themselves Christians or something. And if you go to the wrong one, they wear gowns. And you have these guys running around like ghosts, you know. I better be careful. So, people need that curiosity factor to get them in, right? So be creative in that. Don't be afraid of people. There's no group to be afraid of. Muslim, Hindu, whatever. And don't ever be frightened of the Hindus, because the majority of New Zealanders today are Hindus. That'll scare you, won't it? Yeah, because we call it New Age. That's the fancy name for Hindu. It's just New Age. New Age is just Hindu philosophies. Once you get into it, I hear it all the same when I'm in India. Yeah. See, that has infiltrated our society now. And we have that kind of thinking. Then demonstrate it. Use the flip charts. Use whatever that I've shown you here, or whatever you can make up yourself. Get good ideas. Then you need some training. I have some advertising up the back on the College of Evangelism. You can do it for 12 months. It's all online, or you can do it as a block course, modules, things like that. OAC has a school. Young people, if you want a good learning curve in evangelism, join up with Word of Life Youth Reach Out. Word of Life Youth Reach Out every year goes to the islands. They take 40 or 50 young people with them. You go for 3 weeks and you get to minister in schools and on the streets and in churches and at camps and all sorts of places. They teach you how to witness, and they will teach you a whole lot of other things too. It is just a great, great time. If you can get onto a youth reach out team, you do it. If you're 15 or 16 and above, go for it. You've got to save up some money, cost a little bit of money, but it's a great adventure in July every year. Just is great. So many young people have been helped. Or any other short-term missions trips, get you out there. All right? So, folks, we come to an end. Basically, become creative. What can you do to share Christ with others? Individually? As a home group? As a church, as a neighborhood, as a youth group, as a high school bunch. Oh, I could go on and tell you about some great times at high school with half a dozen Christian kids and how we started to affect the school. Only takes a half a dozen of you. I know you'll be odd bods, but that's okay. You can still play rugby afterwards. And be creative. All right. Now, I'm just going to leave that there, because we'll come back to that tomorrow. I want you to start thinking about it. Maybe if you get some ideas, write them down. Write them down. So we start the conversations on how we're going to reach. My friend, is that okay? Good. Yeah, just watch your skirt. It might fall off. All right. Father, thank you for your goodness to us and being with us and being able to have this good time together. And continue to encourage us and help us to think outside of that box, we pray. And we say thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.